Welcome to the Living a Naturally Healthy Life podcast with Delaine ND, the podcast for people looking to correct chronic illnesses such as diabetes through lifestyle change. I'm Dr. Delaine Vaughn. As a physician, I see many patients who are ill because of lifestyle decisions such as food choices. Typically, diseases such as diabetes are managed with pills or injections. This approach creates a vicious, expensive, and unhealthy cycle of medication and then more medication to address the negative side effects. As a physician and a life coach, I work with clients to resolve their diseases, get off their medications, and live a naturally healthy life. If you don't like the healthcare system in America, I recommend you use less of it by being naturally healthy. So if you feel there has to be a better, more natural way to live a healthy life, you are in the right place. Hello, welcome to the Living a Naturally Healthy Life with Delaine MD podcast. I'm so glad you're here. This is the first of a three-part series of podcast episodes that we will be talking about the basics of diabetes. These episodes will be covering everything from statistics about diabetes and how it affects Americans to the physiology of diabetes, and lastly, the recommendations that I make for my clients so that they can resolve their diabetes naturally without using any medications or insulin injections. So let's get started. Today we are talking about the stats for type 2 diabetes. Before we get started on that, I want to talk first about type 2 versus type 1 diabetes. You'll hear me go over this 1,000 times in my podcast episodes because it's so important. The distinction between the two is so important. So if you're a type 1 diabetic or a LADA, a latent onset diabetes in adults diabetic, the information I'm providing today and in these podcasts does not apply to you. But the type 1 diabetic and this rare latent onset diabetes, it's a latent autoimmune diabetes in adults, that's what LADA stands for. These account for about 5 to 10% of the diabetics in the United States. The other 90% are type 2 diabetics, and you are my people. You are who I'm talking to. You are the people that this information is meant for. Remember, type 1 diabetes is an insulin deficiency. Your body has a genetic abnormality that causes you not to make insulin. Versus a type 2 diabetic, which is different in every way. You have so much insulin in your system that your body becomes resistant to it and no longer responds to it. That allows your blood sugars to climb high, which is what makes you a diabetic. But this insulin resistance is a result of the food that we eat. We'll get into that in future podcasts. Today, we're talking statistics. So who gets type 2 diabetes? What are the risk factors? Who's at risk for this? What are the numbers in the United States? What are the complications associated with type 2 diabetes? And what are some of the financial implications associated with this? We're going to be covering all that. So the risk for diabetes. The biggest risk noted in most of the literature and noted in all of the big organizations, the American Diabetes Association, the CDC, the Mayo Clinic, all of these people list being overweight or obese as a main risk factor for developing type 2 diabetes. However, please note, you do not have to be overweight to develop type 2 diabetes. The other things that they talk about are things like fat distribution. If you store fat mainly in your abdomen, you have a greater risk of developing type 2 diabetes. All of them also list inactivity. So being physically active less than 3 times per week causes you to have a higher risk for developing type 2 diabetes. Recognize this is also going to give you a higher risk of being overweight and obese. They all talk about having a family history that predisposes you to development of type 2 diabetes. So if you have type 2 diabetes in your parents or your siblings, you have a greater risk of developing this. So I want to offer that I struggle with this one, right? People will say things like my family has said, type 2 diabetes, it runs in our family. And I beg to differ. I say things like, no, my love for apple pie and pizza, that runs in my family. We learn how to eat from our family. So for those of you who remember, oh, you had a bad day at school, let's go and get some ice cream. Oh, you had a good day at school, let's go get some ice cream. Those are the kinds of behaviors that we learn from our family that put us at higher risk of developing type 2 diabetes. But certainly, if all of your family members have type 2 diabetes, you also learn to eat from that same family. You too have a higher risk for developing it also. Age is another risk factor they talk about. The literature says that above age 45, you're at an increased risk of getting type 2 diabetes. Having other conditions, like say you were diagnosed with prediabetes, most of those individuals, unless they make some pretty aggressive lifestyle changes, they will go on to develop type 2 diabetes. Those of us who had gestational diabetes like I had, most of those women have an increased risk of going on to develop type 2 diabetes. I also want to throw out there, if you gave birth to a baby weighing more than 9 pounds, as a woman, if you gave birth to a baby weighing more than 9 pounds, you're at higher risk of developing type 2 diabetes, even if you were not diagnosed with gestational diabetes during that pregnancy. And what they think it is either when you were screened for gestational diabetes, your numbers maybe fell just outside of the range of getting that diagnosis, or you were screened too early or weren't screened at all. So if you gave birth to a baby weighing more than 9 pounds, you are at risk for developing type 2 diabetes. And then the last condition associated with this is polycystic ovarian syndrome. For women who have abnormal periods and have been diagnosed with this condition, it is caused by a hyperinsulinemia, so you have too much insulin in your system, therefore you too are at risk for developing type 2 diabetes, which is this insulin resistance. So those are the big risk factors we see. So now I want to talk about who has diabetes in the American population. So in 2015, it was estimated that 1 in 10 Americans have diabetes. I've seen other reports that put it as much as 5 in 10 Americans have diabetes. Per the CDC, 1 in 4 Americans over the age of 65, so that's 25% of Americans who are aged 65 and older, they have the diagnosis of diabetes. In the age range of 45 to 65 years old, there's over 10 million people diagnosed with diabetes and about 3 million people who have diabetes but don't yet know it because they haven't been diagnosed. We're seeing a huge rise in the diagnosis of type 2 diabetes in children that are younger and younger. It's interesting. It used to be that childhood diagnosis, being diagnosed in childhood, was what distinguished type 1 from type 2 diabetics. But this is changing. We are seeing type 2 diabetes being diagnosed younger and younger. Again, this is associated with overweightness and obesity. So the complications associated with type 2 diabetes. The next podcast is going to go into this more in depth because we're going to talk about the physiology of diabetes and I'm going to tell you why all these things occur. But here I just want to briefly touch on the complications that are associated with type 2 diabetes. So first off is stroke. Recognize that there are two different kinds of strokes in America. You can have a hemorrhagic or a bleeding stroke, or you can have an ischemic stroke. The majority of strokes in America are going to be ischemic strokes. And what we mean by ischemic is there's a block in the blood flow in the brain. Type 2 diabetics have a higher risk of developing these kind of ischemic strokes. You have a higher risk of associated heart disease. You have a higher risk as a diabetic of getting an amputation. You are likely to go blind if you're a type 2 diabetic. And then lastly, we know that there is a significant increase in chronic kidney disease in our diabetics. And this is twofold. One, we know that type 2 diabetics with uncontrolled blood sugars, that high blood sugar damages the kidneys. But two, the medications that we treat diabetes with tend to be very stressing on the kidneys. So we see decreased kidney function associated with the use of these medications also. I want to talk a little bit about cost, hitting folks in the pocketbook. That's always sometimes what drives us to make some of these changes. So according to the CDC, in 2012, so this was 7 years ago, the total direct and indirect costs associated with diabetes, with the diagnosis of diabetes in America as a country as a whole, was $245 billion with a B, as in boy, dollars. The average medical expenditure for an individual diagnosed with diabetes was about $13,700 per year. Of that, about $8,000 was attributed to that diagnosis of diabetes. When we adjusted for age group and gender, the average medical expenditure among people with diabetes was about 2.3 times higher for a diabetic than those without diabetes. So the cost to the American healthcare system, the cost to Americans, is pretty substantial just having this diagnosis of diabetes. So if you have found this podcast, I'm going to assume that either you have diabetes, you've been diagnosed with prediabetes, gestational diabetes, or polycystic ovarian disease, you have a strong family history of diabetes that makes you worried you're going to get diabetes, or you have some other interest in type 2 diabetes. What I want you to know and what I want you to think about is, what if you didn't have to have diabetes? Maybe your family has a strong family history. Maybe you have a strong family history of diabetes, but what if you didn't have to get diabetes? Maybe you had gestational diabetes or prediabetes like I had, but what if it didn't have to progress on to full-blown diabetes? And what if you could do all of this without any medications? If you're saying, what? I want you to know it's true. This is what I do with the Delane MD program. If you're interested, send me an email to Delaine@DelaineMD.com. See what we can do for you. Check out the next podcast for more information on diabetes and resolving it naturally. Take care. We'll talk soon. Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe and share with your friends and family. Also, leave me a review. If you want to resolve your diabetes naturally without any pills or injections, I can help you. Visit DelaineMD.com for more information. Click on the Work With Me tab, send me a message, and we can set up a mini coaching session. You guys have a great week. I'll talk to you soon.